I don't know if it's because I'm preaching today, but I sure got a special blessing on the songs today. Wow. Did you listen? I listened. Of course, I'm right up here now. I think all of you should sit in the second row every once in a while. Everything else is gone. You don't see anybody around, and you see, I heard all the transitions today when Vic speaks in between. Sometimes I go to sleep on those. But this morning, because I was up here, I was listening carefully. What I have is, Vic, where did Vic go? I got a request. Next week, if it's at all possible, let's finish with Because He Lives, if it's possible. If it's possible to do that, that song just, to me, and I hope it does it to you. You know what that is, don't you? That's the Holy Spirit inside going, pfft. So here we go. This morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to chapter 2 of John. I read all the time, and I read different things, and I'm looking always for some help. And once in a while, I get to preach again. And the pastor's gone, so I get 2 weeks in a row here. And I've had this one on target for quite some time. I had it written down for quite some time. I've gone through it quite some times. I'm always more disappointed with myself the longer it goes. I wish I could have got it the day I could preach it the day I got it. But I'm asking the Lord to give to you what I got from the message when I first read it. And what I've read this material from a sermon from a preacher about 120 years ago. This isn't his sermon, but it is his. I mean, the material came from there. But I would change it as becomes my sermon. And I hope it's my sermon to you. I hope you hear it. I want the Lord to help you hear it today from the Lord. I want to, first of all, read the passage where we're going to focus. We are in chapter 2 of John, and I'm in the last three verses there, starting with chapter 22, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them. I never saw this exactly before till I read this sermon 2 or 3 months ago. Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Isn't that an incisive passage of Scripture? He knows you, brother, and he knows you, sister. He knows you inside out. If you have known the Lord as your personal Savior for a while, you've received help from this Lord more than you know. You've received grace from the Lord more than you know. And I want to look at this message this morning. It's a very simple message. The message is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, knows you and me, I will use this phrase again, inside out. That ought to just make it flow inside for you and for me. We got to get the passage, got to get where it is. I'm going to do some reviewing, and you will have to kind of stick with me here. He's just beginning here. Jesus is just beginning that 3 years. This temple is a visit. And this isn't the first time that he's seen the temple. This isn't the first time he's worshipped there. But it's the first time he's going to come in his public ministry. And when he comes to the temple, and we're going to see what happens here. It's quite familiar to most of you that know your Bibles. But I want you to know that he's just starting his public ministry. So here he comes on the scene. John the Baptist has already announced him. The whole baptism thing has taken place. And here's the way I go through. I just memorized it to you and to me. In those first 11 verses of chapter 2, that's where we like to preach. It's an exciting passage where it's the marriage supper, or marriage, not the marriage supper, it's a great marriage. Everybody's happy and they run out of wine, and everybody that's not a Baptist always tell us, did you see they used wine? They love to talk to Baptists about that. I am not going to preach on that today. But they'll all get excited because Jesus turned the water into the wine. I guess you would be excited if you were there that day too. That's wonderful stuff. That's what we talk about. But that's not where the chapter ends up. Here's what else I want us to get from that chapter. Verse 13 to 22 in my Bible says, Jesus cleanses the temple. Boy, he did the job of cleansing it all right. And then my Bible reads, the first Passover, cleansing of the temple. Now, we read here his action that takes place. And he says here in this passage, stop making my house a house of business, or if you got a new one, or old King James or new King James, it says, making my house a place of merchandise. Then we get the red print here right in the middle. This is what he said when he came in there. You're looking in your Bible. If you got a Bible like mine, you're looking at chapter 2. Well, the red print is not more inspired, but it draws my attention. What draws your attention when you read there? There's two little pieces of red print. On verse 16, he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. That's what mine says here. Do you get that? My father's house. He declares himself to be the son of the eternal God. That's that red print. When he walks in there and he dumps these things all over and you get all that action and that reaction, when he comes in, he's just starting everything up. He's just starting to show who he is, where he is, why he's come, and what he's to come for. Bango! And all those people say, what's going on here? Well, the Son of God just walked in. And the Son of God's going to run it. And the Son of God knows what needs to be done, why it needs to be done, and what they have been doing all this time, making merchandise. A lot of people do that in churches today too, by the way. We won't preach on that. I've got to get back. See, I get carried away. Old preachers get carried away quick. See, the first thing I wanted you to see was that his action. I got that one. Number two, I want you to notice what he says. Take these things away and stop making my father's house a place of business. This is the eternal Son of God talking. Okay. Three, he is actually declaring, oh yeah, I got to get to that one. Let's read on here. Let's look at it. Oh, what did he say? Jesus says in the next red print, you got it? Destroy, verse 19, Jesus said to them, destroy this temple, and 3 days I will raise it up. Huh. He's talking about death, burial, and resurrection. He's talking about the beginning of the end of the beginning. That's when he just started. He really laid it out right there in one simple sentence. You want to see how that worked out? Look at verse 17. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house. They remembered these sorts of things later on. They're going to understand that second red print a little later on. They don't understand it all now. They're just getting organized, by the way. These disciples haven't been in business very long that are following him. We're only in chapter 2. Are you following me so far? Okay, I know you are, because I see you still awake after 5 minutes. Okay, that's good. We get the explanation, and I read it again in verse 20 through now. We read it again. Now we'll go, let's start reading in verse 20 and read it down through my passage, and we'll set it up. Then the Jews said, "Take this 40, it has taken 46 years to build this temple. Will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. We know that. Therefore, they didn't know it. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them. And they believed the scripture in which the word of what Jesus had said. They got it after the resurrection. They didn't get it much before the resurrection because we have them all wondering. You all blame Thomas. Poor old boy says, unless I see I got to touch him or I don't believe it. Well, those others didn't have that great faith either. They were just there a week early. But they got it. And they preached it the rest of their lives because Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. I'm getting ahead of myself. Now look at it in verse 20. 23 again. Here we go again. Now when he was in Jerusalem, the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs. But Jesus didn't commit himself to him because he knew all men and had the no need that anyone should testify them of man because he knew what was in man. Okay, now I get to my sermon. All this is introduction up till now. Well, kind of. This is what I want you to notice. He did not commit or entrust himself, and you got some of the new stuff, to them. Our passage tells us why. Two reasons. That's my sermon. Two reasons he didn't. They all said, "Hallelujah, we'll do it." He says, "No, I know you guys. Some of them had got drunk in a wedding and weren't sober yet." No, they doesn't say that in there. But I want you to notice he doesn't. He knew what was in man and knew what was man. Two reasons. He knew all men and he knew what was in man. Now we know all about this Jesus today. You know all about him. You know all. You've heard about him all your life. In the beginning, John starts out, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Was not anything made that was made." You remember how first John starts out? When Luke and Matthew start out the Gospels, they start out by giving the details of Jesus, where he come from. He was born of a virgin, and you get that little baby in the manger, and you get all these early things going on. When Mark starts, he just starts in when Jesus starts. John does a couple of things here. I want you to go with me. Where I started quoting, John doesn't talk about the birth. John starts talking about the eternal God from heaven. In the beginning was the Word. That's talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's the one that John picks it up right there. And that's why I want you to pick it up. Because who you're listening to today, if I get it right, I want you to understand that the man that we see in the temple this morning is the one that comes from forever. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. If you follow through the Gospels, it's good to get the different emphases. So I'm trying to get you John's emphasis. He started with the very beginning. If you read chapter 1, which I can't spend the time going through today because there's so much there, but if you take John, he starts way back there. And then in verse 14 if you go back, I got to go back to chapter 1, just a minute. Go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 14. Are you where? Are you there? 1:14. "And the Word became flesh, and the flesh dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of his only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's John's descriptive of the Son of God. He goes all through that. I'm not going to go all John the Baptist stuff there. But what happens before we get to chapter 2, as I flip my page, is he begins to get his disciples right away. See, John doesn't go through the first all the time. He just takes the eternal Son of God and presents the God the Son there, and he presents him right there in the temple, where they have been worshiping God forever, for a long time. And now God the Son steps in and says, you've been doing it all wrong. Get out of here. You're making my Father's house a place of business. This is God's place. And by the way, I'm the Son of God. You better listen to what I got to say. That's what I see. Because, do you get that? I never saw those verses. Because this Son of God knows you inside out. You can't fake it with him. Don't try. He knows you. Oh, and if you know him, I got to the end of a message already. If you know him, then that's the blessing of having him know you inside out, because he knows you belong to him and he belongs to you. We'll talk about that. Well, if I ever get back on my schedule again, let me see. I got through page one. I got through page two. Well, I'm not through page two yet. I'll repeat this. This one that steps in here and says he knows everybody is the one who is from the beginning. In John's account, takes us. He starts on ministry, and now he picks it up. You flip the page. He's 30 years old. You flip the page, and he's starting his ministry. You flip the page, he's already picked out his disciples. Some of them, not all of them yet. He picked out his disciples. You flip the page, and he says, by the way, I know who you are, and I know what's in you. I know. They said, oh, well, hallelujah, we believe those miracles, we like this stuff. And Jesus says, I know you're just talking. You don't know what you know, and you don't really follow me. So I got now, this is what I got. I got now what I want to start preaching. What is this knowledge that Jesus has described? I get this from an old sermon, so I have to tell you that I'm not an original, haven't got an original thought in my head. This is descriptive. I want you to get out of this message this morning. God's the Son's knowledge of you is immediate. He knew what was in him. God's knowledge is profound. He knew all about them and all about you. And God's knowledge is universal. He doesn't miss anybody. You got it? Have you got that? Okay, that's really where I'm headed. Number one, Jesus did not trust himself unto them, for he himself knew all men. I'm going to have you turn one time today. We're going to come right back here. I'm going to stay here, but I got to give you a descriptive of this from the Old Testament in Isaiah. I'm going to give you time to get there. It's going to be in Isaiah chapter 11, and Isaiah gives us a picture of what I want you to see, what Jesus is like. This one that knows everybody and knows you inside out. I want you to look with me as in this prophet that talked about this Jesus that was going to come. That's what he's talking about. The first three verses of chapter 11 of Isaiah. You got a Bible right in front of you if you don't have it on your hands. If you come to listen to me preach, by the way, I don't have anything written down. Come with your Bibles because we're going to use them. 11:1. You got it? You have got it. I got all of you looking. Okay. There shall come forth a rod from the gem of Jesse. No, from the stem of Jesse. Jesse is David's father. A branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now watch. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now watch verse 3. This one that's going to come. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. That's the descriptive of the one that I'm talking to you about. Now we're back in John 2. That's the one that I'm going to tell you whose knowledge is immediate and profound and universal. I need to stay with my notes here. He himself knew all men. Here is knowledge that no one else possesses. No one else can say this. But he did. He knows all men. This is what I want to say. He knew them. He knows you right now. It's an immediate knowledge of you. He knows all about you. He knows all about you right now. It's immediate. That's the kind of knowledge that Jesus has of every single one of us. It's a wonderful thing that he knows you. I have a lot of struggles sometimes with my faith being weak or my understanding being not clear. Well, the Lord that I know from forever, that knew me from forever, knows what my problems are. He can give me a verse on some day, or he can give me some help on some day that I didn't even, like those two verses right there. I've read that book a dozen times at least, but I never saw it like this. You'll find that too. This is God's book. When you read it, remember, it comes from the one I just got through telling. I'm talking to you about. It comes from the Lord, and His knowledge of you and His knowledge of your needs. It's just there. You don't have to explain to the Lord, "I got a problem today." He knows you got it. You can talk to Him about it because He cares about you. That's another sermon. Okay, number two. His knowledge is profound. He knows what is in man. Now, this passage, he had and has perfect knowledge of man. In John's gospel, it will shine the light on him as we see him deal with all kinds of people. John, if you're new at reading your Bible, start with the gospel of John. It's one of the best books in the Bible to clearly kind of explain what it's all about. And so if you go into the book of John, if I was going to preach you the most famous book, I'd go to the next chapter, wouldn't I? Chapter 3. All of you know that one. I'm talking about Jesus having a profound knowledge. Oh, it won't hurt to read a few verses here. Look at it. Chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named... You got it there. Chapter 3, verse 1. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to... We know this story. The man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless you do God." He says, "God, you're kind of super person here." He doesn't say he's a son of God. Now watch the red print. Jesus said unto him, "Most surely I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He saw this religious man inside out. Religious, good, not saved. Not one who had trusted the Lord. He tells him how to get saved. He tells him how to know the Lord. And we preach it, and I started preaching this 60 years ago. Ye must be born again. Sometimes that's well understood, and sometimes it's not. But we... By the way, that's the only time that particular phrase is used. But we understand and we have to be turned from our old life into our new life and accept the Lord as our Savior. You understand that. But that, now see how he dealt with him? He knew him inside out, knew exactly what to say. Flip your page, go to chapter 4. This woman is a Samaritan. You know this chapter too. See, we know these chapters. In chapter 4, the Samaritan woman... comes to the well, and you know that she's an immoral person and all this stuff. And she tries to give him some puzzles. You notice how he deals with her? He deals with her like this. We got to go all the way down because I can't preach on it. Drop into verse 21. "Woman, believe me, the hour has come when you will neither on this mountain nor Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know we worship for salvation as of the Jews, but the hour hasn't come. My Father's going to come and all that." Let's drop into Oh, verse 24. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman says, we don't know what... We know... Watch. Total different. She's got more brains than Nicodemus. Watch what she says. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, because he knew her inside out, I'm the one. And she believed it. She believed it. And you know what happened? She got saved. You know what happens if people believe what she believed? They get saved. Do you understand that? Jesus knows everything about it, and he knows how to approach people. He knows what's inside of us. It's exciting to me to remind myself that when I stand up here, this is God's business, not my business. Boy, am I thankful for that. Because I get frustrated about not doing it. Pastor Don gets it right. Boom, boom, boom. He's got it all written down. I got no... I go, Dash. But you guys can listen to Dash. See, you're doing good. All right, here we are. Let me see how much I'm supposed to say. Oh, yeah. I would put... Well, you remember how you called the disciples there? I got time to do that. Vic gave me some extra time today. I want you to look back in verse, let me see, let's go back in chapter 1. Look at chapter 1. I just want to pick that up again. How he knows men. How he knows you inside out. Chapter 1. And drop into verse 35. I'm in 135 now. I wasn't going to read all this, but the Lord knows what I'm supposed to do. Again, the next day, John stood to two of his disciples and looking at Jesus and walked and said, Behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned to them and said, By the way, you need a little theology. No, he didn't say, What are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, teacher, which means translated teacher, where are you staying? He says, Come and see. That's how he dealt with them. Look at the next verse. One of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The first found his own brother Simon and said to him, We found the Christ. We found the Messiah, which is translated to Christ, and brought him to Jesus. And now when Jesus looked at him, here we go. Here's my point. You are Simon the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which means translated a stone. Read on just a minute. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida. Here we go. A different place, a different person, different personality. He picks them. He picks them because he knows they will follow. He picks who's going to follow. He picks them because they know how to follow. He's got it all done. Because he knows all men. He knows what's in man. He knows what's within all of these people. Watch this. I wanted to just show you one other thing here. In verse 44. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We found him who Moses the law and the prophets from, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Watch. Philip said to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him. He hadn't seen him before. Jesus saw Nathanael come before him and said, Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael says, How do you know me? Do you get this? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. Jesus knows you before you ever got any idea who he is. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that, do you get it? Do you get why I got excited when I remembered or I kind of got together this idea of Jesus knowing all people? And knowing them inside out. Turn the page. His knowledge is universal. He understands all kinds of men. I liked that when I got to thinking about that. How does he deal with people who use all these different languages? And have different backgrounds. our missionary is going to try to reach Muslims. My first thought about Muslims isn't good. God knows of inside out. And you know what he does? He saves some of them. And that man in Africa that's never learned how to read or write anything, somehow God goes down, brings somebody to him, and they get saved. Because he knows them. He knows all about them. And by the way, he knows how to reach them. So I put down here, every race, every language, all kinds of temperaments. You got Philip and Peter and Thomas. If you ever get three different kind of people, you would find those three different. And don't get hollering at poor old Thomas. If the rest of them didn't see him in that first week, they'd have been looking for him in the second week and had the same problem. Don't blame old Thomas. He is kind of average. Can't see. I can't believe unless I see. A lot of people don't believe unless they see. Well, let's see how he sees man. I got it. You got the picture by now. He knows all men. He knows what's all in man. So how does that work? Oh, I got another point. This is my response to all this. As we look at this complex, sort of compelling situation in him, we see, number one, he saw them and he sees us as spiritual beings who are forever going to be with him or forever be without him. That's how he sees us. Hear him. These verses, I don't turn to them. I just wrote them down. I wrote these down. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Be not afraid of those that kill the body, but those that are able to kill the soul. These are my gospel verses. I have lots of verses up here that sometimes I can remember. I hear this verse today. I hear it in my heart. You hear it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Have you heard that? Have you heard that scripture? Have you heard that scripture? Some of you have heard it 70, 80 years ago. And you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He knows you on the inside. He knows that you recognize you as... Oh, I'm getting ahead of my sermon. So number two, I noticed that he sees them. I hear the verse today, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's his forever promise, that he knows me. And you notice something else that he knows about you? You're a sinner. There isn't a one in here that is not one of you that's not one of those. We're all sinners. The difference between people that go this way and the people that go that way is the people that admit they're a sinner, turn from their sin, repent of their sin. That doesn't mean you become perfect. You say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I have no hope in my own self, and I trust you today as my personal Savior. Believe, my Bible says, this Jesus, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I did that. I did that before I knew a lot of things. I know a lot more than I did that, but I knew enough to get to heaven when I was pretty young, and I've been on my way for all that time, not because I'm different or better than any of you. I just took the Lord as my Savior. I hope, I know that most of you have done that, but make sure that you have. Oh, I'm ahead of my sermon again, but that's the way it goes. So number one, he sees us all as spiritual beings, forever being. Number two, this was not a news item to you, was it? That you're a sinner? Because you married one, most of you. Well, no, I'm not supposed to preach on that this morning either. But your wife married one too, by the way. We're all married to one of those things called sinners. Hopefully they're saved by grace sinners. How did I get on that? Who knows? He knew and he knows the best of them. And you know that he knows that sin separates us all from God. That's why he came, to deal with sinners, to make us saints on the way. Oh, number three. That's my sermon. You got the third point, haven't you? We're all savable. Unless if you're dead, you're still not lost forever. Unless you're dead, then it's too late. But you are savable. If you're not saved today, you can get saved today. If the Holy Spirit hasn't bopped you yet, he will do it today. And say, hey, brother. Hey, sister. You're a sinner. And you're a sinner that's going to go to hell if you don't trust in me. I know you inside out, and I know that I will save you if you will come. That's it. That's old sermons I used to preach. I remember old days here. I have to be careful with this because it becomes idealistic. I think of people coming all the time forward. That wasn't true, but they did do it. And it did happen. And my soul rejoices when I remember those things. But here's my message. They are savable. That's why he came. That's why the Savior came. To save you. Save me. He's going to fill heaven up with all those that trust him as Savior. When you have my funeral, say, this old preacher had a lot of weaknesses, and he sure was a sinner, but don't forget to say he was a saved sinner. And he's in heaven today because he trusted in the Son of God who came and died on the cross and rose again victorious over my sin, my death, and my hell. Now that's the end of my sermon. Oh, but I'll just do it to add a little bit. I got two additions here. I got whole Billy Graham's whole thing here, but I'm not going to do that today. This is what I'm going to do, just my thoughts today. Here, I'm going to be done in 2 minutes. So, what are we to do with this? Our thoughts about Jesus this morning and how we know that he knows us. He knows us inside out. He knows us if we've trusted him or not. Sure, I hope that most of you go out like this. Hallelujah. I'm saved because Jesus Christ saved me. I want you to walk out that door and I'll have to pull you down because you're going to be walking that high off the ground. That's what I would hope would happen. Rejoice that you've been saved. Thank the Lord he's reached out and saved you. And second, for those we pray for, oh, keep praying. The ones I've been praying for, the Lord knows them inside out. They think they're running away, but he knows where they are. So you keep praying for those that aren't saved, and I'm going to do that too. That's the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? I hope I've been able to take two little phrases out of the book and put them in your heart. And I hope it just lifts you today, you that know the Lord is your Savior. It's real. He's real. He knows you. I'm going to do two things at the end, if I can find it. I want you to look in your songbook. You're not going to sing this. You're just going, I'm going to read it. I want you to look at, let me see, what page is it? I got it here someplace. Number one, number two, number three. Let me see if I can find it. Maybe it's in the next page. Maybe we won't read it. Hang in there, folks. The preacher's missing most of his mentality. Okay, turn to 417, and as a response, I want to read it to you. Page 417. Here's Pastor Don's book. This is how he gets it. He can read the big print in here. 417. I want you to read this, then we're going to sing another song in a minute. 417. Ah, man, oh man, this is a big book. Wow. Okay. 4:17. I'm done preaching. This is just a little extra. I want you to rejoice in this as I read it to you. No one understands like Jesus. The one that I'm talking about today, he's a friend beyond compare. Meeting him at the throne of mercy, he's waiting for you there. If you're not saved today, you just say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't get into heaven on my own. I am willing to turn from my sin, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again the third day, and I accept him as my Savior. That's how you get saved. No one understands like Jesus. Every woe he sees and feels, tenderly he whispers comfort. In a broken heart he heals. There may be somebody with that one. I don't know you today. No one understands like Jesus. When the foes of life assail, you should never be discouraged. Jesus cares, and he will not fail. No one understands like Jesus. When you falter on the way, though you fail him, sadly fail him, and we all have. He will pardon you today. We are saved sinners, but we are saved. And he knows all men, and he knows what's in all men. Let's respond by singing together whatever song I had picked out 2 months ago. Let me see. 5:11. 5:11, we're going to sing. 5:11. Oh, man, I got to go back to that. Okay. Maybe Vic. Oh, Vic has it here. Hallelujah. Stand up. We'll sing 3 verses.